Good morning. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. I'm Pastor Heather Dorr, and I serve with Pastor Tom Carver, who's bringing us the word this morning. As we get started, a few announcements. I'll ask our ushers to pass around the attendance pad so you can register your attendance with us this morning. And I wanted to highlight a few ways to get involved and to serve that are here in the Did You Know section. First of all, is that tonight is our fifth Sunday fun. We've been having a special event every fifth Sunday, and tonight is a fifth Sunday. Doors open at 5, and trivia night begins at 5:30. Tables of $8, $10 per person, and that goes to benefit the school up the road, Mark Twain Elementary. Next highlight is that the dining tour coupon books are here. They're in the office. And those books this year will be benefiting the some snacks for Hope at the Brick House. And so we don't have the backpack program anymore with the closing of Jefferson. And so these will be going towards an after-school snack program at Hope at the Brick House. Next slide. Just what I said, but with a really cute graphic. Church and society going for the snacks. Next slide. And then go back to that slide. I do want to highlight also that Church and Society is working on the crop walk, which is next Sunday. You probably saw a table on your way in. You can sign up to support or to walk. And there's an insert in your bulletin telling you more about the difference that the crop walk makes in our community and in our world. I'll invite Linda Carver up to share our last announcement.
Behind me, we announced this last week that we are doing a church-wide Christmas event called One Starry Night, and this is kind of an interactive nativity journey through Bethlehem, and it's going to be December 8th through from 4 to 7. It might seem a ways off December, but it actually is coming up fast, and so we just have 70 days to get this together. So our goal is by October 15th, we would like to have all of our acting parts filled along with our tour guides. And so these are tour guides taking groups along the way just to stations to see a little acting going on, and then we'll take them into the marketplace up here. And so we will need 7 to 8 families or groups to sign up for one of the craft stalls in the marketplace and to decorate it and run it. And we also want to have someone sign up to help us with costumes, photographer and videographer. And the last is to find a donkey, 2 sheep, and we have chickens already. So if you know anybody that we could contact for a donkey or 2 sheep, we would love that. And then we have tables out in the hallway just to have sign up. I'll be at this table. I'll ask one of our committee members to be at that table. But we have the script out there too. So if you're interested in looking, there's small parts. And there's some larger parts for our tour guides and stuff. So we would really love to get that figured out by either this time or by October 15th. Thank you.
If you look in your bulletin, you'll see that there's a lot going on this Sunday. We've got new members joining, and we've got a baptism. So let's take a few seconds, take a few deep breaths, and open up our hearts to feel the Spirit move in this place. Please stand for our call to worship. When your child doesn't return your text messages, even though you pay for their phone and phone service, When your coworker doesn't meet the deadlines required by the contract you are working on, even after they ask to be placed on the project. When a friend writes charged political views on their social media page that speaks in contempt to views you hold.
God is ever found. Run here together by Christ's love, by love are we thus bound. With grateful joy and holy fear, true charity we learn. Let us with ardent mind and strength now love Christ in return. Or give we now each other's faults, as we our faults confess. And let us love each other well, in Christian holiness.
Let us join together in the unison prayer. People can be hard. It is easy to love people from a distance, but difficult to love them up close. Give us your reckless love, O God, that we might be able to get beyond our inclinations to squabble and instead live in charity with one another. No matter how difficult our neighbor might be this week, help us to lavish love upon everyone we encounter. Amen.
Love can exclude no race or creed, if honored be God's name. Our common life embraces all, whose maker is the same.
Let us share signs of peace and love with one another. All right, I told you we were going to have a baptism, and here it is. So for those of you who might not know, this is the Hench family, and so this is Julia and Matt Hench, and Fiona comes up every Sunday for children's time, and little Alice making her first appearance on the chancel. And then Julia, who do we have up here as sponsors?
This is my brother, Alex.
Her brother, Alex. Matt's sister-in-law, Laura. So if you are our sister-in-law. So if you turn in your hymnal to page 33. You'll be able to follow along, and we'll have some things that'll be that might be skipped, so pay attention. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is offered to us without a price. I present Alice Maddie for baptism. Mom and Dad and Aunt and Uncle, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, answer, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, answer, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, say, I do. Will you nurture Alice Maddie in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will. And now to the church, to all of you. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include Alice and our new members that will join later, now before you in your care? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and Alice who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. Amen. All right, Alice. All right. Alice Maddie, I baptize you. Hello. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You guys, let's come around and let's pray for Alice. The Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. By the Holy Spirit, into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as a member of the family of Christ. All right, let's give her a big round of applause. Yay! All right, you guys can be seated. Julia. We continue that time of prayer and celebration by a sharing of our joys and concerns this morning. So if you have a joy or concern you'd like to share, I ask you to stand up or raise your hand, and one of our ushers will bring you a microphone so we can all hear best, and we can all be in prayer together.
Darvin Schroeder. Hardly a week goes by. Remember Stan Peterson, Alcoa Maintenance, retired, a child of 1934 to September 27th, 2019. Thank you.
All right, quiet week. That's okay. I know that we all came here with different things on our hearts, and I want to give you a little bit of space to reflect on those celebrations and on those pains that God walked through with you this week. We're going to sing a verse of Come and Fill Our Hearts, have a moment of silent prayer. I'll offer a prayer, and we'll share together in the Lord's Prayer.
Come and fill our hearts with your love. You alone, O Lord, are holy. Come and fill our hearts with your love. Oh, alleluia.
Amazing God, we thank you for your presence with us on the highs and the lows, the celebrations and the births and the birthdays and anniversaries, a family come to be with us or us to go be with friends and loved ones. But we know that you are with us in the darkest valleys as well, the valley of the shadow of death and disease and discouragement. We thank you, O Lord, that when we are in times of transition and doubt, you walk beside us and guide us with your gentle hand. Holy One, we ask for special blessings upon those that we know that are suffering and struggling. We ask that they may see your light and hope and feel your comfort and strength. And that though we might not always have the words to say what we should, that we have hearts that will love them and support them and care for them. We lift up to you the pains of this world, the struggles of those near and far, and we thank you that you walk beside us through it all. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This morning, we're in week three of our look at the Reckless Love by Tom Berlin, and our worship services are inspired by that book series. I hope you're in a small group. And we open up our scripture this morning to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be serious and discipline yourselves for the sake of your prayers. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God might be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of God. The amen was in the Bible, so that's why I said it. I usually say the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'd like to invite the children forward at this time.
All right. Good morning. Good to see you today, this morning. So Pastor Heather's already said a word, or we've heard a word a couple times today, the word lavish. Who knows what lavish means? We're talking about lavish love as a way to think about love today. Lavish love. Well, here's something I've got that can maybe help us think about it. Here is a heart. That helps us think about love, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, we have a heart in our bodies.
We've got a heart in our bodies too, don't we? Yeah, right, Archer. And love is something, or a heart helps us think about love, right? That when we love other people, we care about them and we love them. Now, the word lavish, though, means like even more than you expect, like above and beyond,
yeah,
like more than you could even imagine. So in the Bible reading, we're going to read in just a bit, Jesus was talking about how to love other people, and he was saying that, you know, to love and care for people even if they don't love you, even if they're mean to you, because a lot of times people in the world say, well, somebody's mean to you, you ought to be mean back to them. We heard that a lot of times from adults even, who will say, if somebody does something wrong to you, you ought to do something mean back to them 10 times as hard.
Yeah.
And is that right?
No,
of course not. No, we'll never get anyway that way. So here's what Jesus talked about. If someone's mean to you,
if I keep doing something mean to me, I never do it back.
That is so good.
I always do it again.
That is so good. I hope that's true. Even if somebody does something mean to him, we don't do it back to them. That's exactly right. So love, even though other people might think that's what you're supposed to do. But love that's a lavish love goes above and beyond and gives even more than what we ever would have thought. Mm-hmm. So here's a heart to make us think about love, right? But there's something special about this heart. You can color it. You can do whatever you want. I've got one for each of you that Mrs. Bauer made. It's a very cool thing. But the thing that's special about this heart is it looks like a nice piece of paper, right?
Yeah, and you have to... And you only have to color it
You
red.
Could color it. You can do anything. But look at what happens here. This is more than what you would expect. Because look at how this one actually opens up like this. Like this. Like this. Like that. All the way around. Let's see. Like this. It's more like that. It makes even like a flower. So how's that look? Yeah, isn't that more than what you expected?
And we have a skeleton with a heart.
You got a skeleton with a heart, too. So isn't that more than what you expected with that heart? That little piece of paper became this big, pretty, like a flower, okay? So that's kind of, it was a lavish way to think about love. It was more than we expected. It gave us more than what we would have thought. That's how God loves us. He loves us more than we expect and wants us to love each other, to love more than what they'd even imagine, okay? Can we do that? You can take these home, yes. So can we do that this week? Try to practice God's lavish love, giving more than what we can.
I don't know how to do that in and stick them together.
I will show you. Mom and Dad can show you. Okay, let's pray first. Shall we pray? Can you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for your lavish love.
Thank you for your lavish love.
Help us to love others even more than they expect. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so you kids come with me. The choir's coming up to sing, and I've got one of these hearts from Mrs. Bauer for all of you. There's something about the silence, the stillness of a moment that just, you kind of feel the presence of God sometimes. Sometimes you yelp and cheer and shout, and sometimes you just like let it sink in. So thank you, choir. I want to share a gospel reading this morning from the gospel of Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36. The setting is that Jesus has been with his disciples. He's actually called the 12 of them together. And I love it the way that Tom Berlin, the author of the book that we've been using as a study, Reckless Love, says this is kind of like an introductory lesson, a beginning lesson, an orientation for the new disciples. And in Matthew, we're very familiar with the Sermon on the Mount. But here when Luke tells the story, it's very similar wording, but he actually says they're on a flat place, a plain. And so as Luke tells the story, oftentimes they refer to this as part of the Sermon on the Plain. Some of the similar thoughts, but it's told in a different way. So it's in that setting again, Jesus is offering this orientation session to his disciples, and this is part of what he says, verses 27 through 36. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not even withhold your shirt. Give to everyone who asks, everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He is kind to the merciful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. We thank God for Scripture, the Word of God, for the people of God. Well, as a young child, I remember at one point seeing my grandfather in a business or a restaurant. I'm not sure what it was, but I remember him saying to the clerk, "Keep the change." And the clerk was like, "Oh, no, keep the change." And I could see how much the recipient was grateful for that. It was kind of a cool thought. Sometime later, as a young boy, my mother sent me on an errand. And this was back in Beaverdale, in Des Moines, and there was like a shoe repair shop in Beaverdale. And my dad had had his shoes repaired, and so I'm sure a lesson for my mom to help me learn some responsibility. She gave me some money with the errand to go down to the shoe repair shop and pay the bill and bring back my dad's shoes. So I remember I went down there, walked, feeling like a big boy, you know, and gave him the money, and they gave up, and I said, "Nope. Keep the change." The clerk was very reluctant, said, but then I committed myself. No, keep the change. Went back home and brought the shoes to my mom, and she said, "Where's the change?" I told him to keep it. "You what?" Now, it's not like my mom wasn't generous, but at that time, we were a family of six living in a small two-bedroom house. And so, I didn't know money at the time, so I really didn't know what I was doing. My guess is it was probably something in that day, you know, 50 years ago, it was probably maybe a $5 charge to repair the shoes. It was probably something like a $10 or a $20 bill that she'd given me. So I had to walk back all the way to the shoe shop and into the store, and I forgot my change. The clerk had it on the counter there and gave it to me, and I'm sure my mom must have called him or something maybe, but I had to walk back. So that was a good lesson in economics. And part of reflecting back, again, it's not like my mother wasn't generous at all, but the point was, even though it felt good to do that, it wasn't my money to give. And so that's where, again, kind of a learning at that point was Number one, do what mom tells you. But secondly, how it does feel good to go above and beyond, to give someone more than they expect, you know, if it's truly coming from you. That's the very definition of lavish love. A love that goes above and beyond is more than we could expect. And that's what we want to talk about today, how God has loved us with a lavish love. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we come to before you today seeking your word, grateful for your love. And we desire to be like you. We pray as we open our hearts to your Spirit in your presence that you would speak to us and help us know where you want us to show your lavish love in the coming week. We just pray for your wisdom and your guidance now as we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So in our scripture reading this morning, again, we're continuing in this series about reckless love. Again, we've mentioned how reckless is kind of a term that oftentimes doesn't have positive connotations. Reckless is dangerous. Reckless has no regard for safety. But when we think about it, God's love for us really is a reckless kind of love. And if we're going to love other people the way that God loves us, there is a risk involved. It's a reckless kind of love. We can not only anticipate that we might get taken advantage of, we might get hurt. The reality is we will get hurt. We will probably be taken advantage of somewhere. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't love other people that way anyway, because that's how God loves us. So we began a couple weeks ago with the thought about begin with love. To start each day with the expectation that we're going to love just as God has loved us, to remind ourselves of God's love for us. And I reminded us about the mezuzah that Jewish folks, you know, put on their doorposts as a way to remind them of the Shema, the love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I was talking with somebody this week who actually said they actually wrote that on their message board that they've got as they go out to the garage, begin with love. To remind ourselves that's what we're going to do every day and expect that that's how we'll behave. So, then last week, Pastor Heather reminded us about the idea of expand the circle to include others who haven't been included. To realize the kingdom of God is like those ripples on a pond that keep spreading out, and that's how we're to be. Begin with love. Expand the circle. Today, lavish love. Now, if you're following along in the study of the book, you know that each of these letters will be like an acronym or spell out the word be love. So if you're trying to remember these sermon titles or at least the chapters of the, you know, be love, B-E-L-O-V-E. Begin with love. Expand the circle. Today, lavish love. And we'll keep going until we fill out the word be love. Because that's what we hope to be as followers of Jesus. So today, lavish love is a love that goes above and beyond. Again, in this Sermon on the Plain where Jesus is with his newly called disciples, he's kind of given them, you know, this is the heart of it. This is where we begin. This is how you're to treat one another. He as Luke tells it, he gives a version of the Beatitudes. You know, very similar to what Matthew had done about blessed are the poor in spirit. Luke just cuts through the chase, says, blessed are the poor. But then he goes on to say, and this is where it gets hard when we're talking about love. It's easy to love people who love us. We know that. Anybody can do that. But Jesus really shakes things up when he says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who abuse you. Do you see how now that's kind of a very definition of a reckless love? That you're praying for those who are out to get you. That you don't return fire with fire. That you're seeking the well-being of that other person. Jesus goes on to say, look, even if somebody takes strikes you on the one cheek, turn to the other. If they steal from you, don't even ask for it back. I got to be honest with you. I don't know that I can live with that on a real basis. If somebody steals from me, I'm going to want that stuff back. If somebody strikes me, there's something within me that wants to strike them back. If somebody hurts me, there's something within me that I want to hurt them. And even more so, if somebody hurts someone I love, there's even a greater desire to hurt them in return. Now, God knows and Jesus knows that that is the way that the world is, that's how our human nature is, but also knows that if you carry that out, it'll never end in a good way. And you'll become a part of the problem, not a part of the solution. And so Jesus clearly said, this is what you're to do, love those who care for you. I mean, after all, anybody can love those who love you. Anybody can do nice to those. But if you can do good, if you can love someone who doesn't love you, who doesn't care for you, you're going above and beyond in a lavish kind of way, and that's the most powerful witness demonstration of God's love, because that's how God loves us. Remember we read a couple weeks ago, it was while we were yet sinners that Christ died for us. So Jesus is saying that's how God loves. He cares for the wicked, for the for the ungrateful, for the wicked there in verse 35. And here's where Jesus says, here's the only way this is going to happen. Here's the only way that you're going to be able to do it. If you will be merciful just as your Father, your Heavenly Father, as God is merciful. The only way that we as human beings can follow in that is if we are indeed following an example of looking to Jesus and looking to God to see that's how God is. Now I know how I should try to be as well. I didn't come up with the keep the change on my own. Something inside of me would have said, ooh, look at all this money. Maybe I could keep the change. Or here, give mom some of the change, but keep some for myself. After all, I deserve a commission for doing a job like that. But because I'd seen my grandfather say, keep the change, and I'd seen the reaction and what that did to the person he was with, I was like, hey, that's pretty cool. I think I'd like to try that. Now, maybe didn't try it at the right time in the right place again with my money. But at least it was cool while it lasted. So the challenge, if we are to love as God loves, it's a lavish kind of love that goes above and beyond anything we would normally do on our own. And that's why it might feel awkward, feel odd to us. And even in the world around us, people would say, you're going to get hurt. Why would you do that? Now, in the First Peter, there's a couple of things I want to point out. When Peter was writing, this is the first letter of Peter. A couple of things is that in Peter's perspective, and a lot of times in the New Testament, the people were thinking, the day of the Lord is near, the judgment day is near. I mean, the end of time is coming, within our lifetime. We even see in Paul and other places where people are expecting, we don't have much time. And while the reality of the end of the world didn't come at that time, the apocalypse, the judgment, the day of the Lord didn't come within the lifetime of those early disciples. Isn't it true that we don't have much time in our individual lives? That urgency, that sense of urgency is absolutely true. And when so Peter writes, I want to say the end of all things is near, we need to pay attention. It's true. And it might not be all things in terms of, the whole judgment day of the universe, but certainly all things as we know it. That we will live to see the end of the world as we know it in our own physical deaths. So then Paul says, so if that's the case, here's what's most important. Above all, maintain constant love for one another. Just like Jesus was saying in that orientation, saying, here's the big thing. I mean, love one another, go above and beyond, treat other people as you want to be treated. Here Peter is kind of reminding that, I love one another above all, most important, maintain that constant love for one another, a lavish love. And here's a couple things he says about that, a love that covers a multitude of sins. I want to come back to that in just a moment. But he goes on and gives these instructions to be hospitable without complaining, to live like good stewards for the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift or grace that you have. And this is a word I guess I want to have in a few moments. We're going to have new members join our church. And this is a word I would want to give to them in particular, but also to every one of us, as if Peter were talking to us, saying, serve with whatever gift God has given you. That's a part of being a part of the fellowship of Jesus, a part of the church. To use whatever gift God has given to you. And he gives two examples. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. And in other words, if that's your gift, if that's your talent, realize it's a gift from God to use it with all the importance as if it was God speaking through you. Secondly, he says, whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies. Again, maybe it's your gift of service, of caring for one another, to do it with the strength that God supplies, remembering again, this is a gift that God has given to you. So whatever it is, as the people of God, you've been given a gift, a unique personality, a talent, a skill. Realize it is from God and use it as if God were working through you because God is. And in doing that, then this world can be changed. Now I want to go back to what else Peter says, that love covers a multitude of sins. And to let that sink in for just a moment. That love covers a multitude of sins. When we love one another as God loves us, not only does it bind us together, but it has the potential to cover a multitude of sins. There's the potential for forgiveness, for reconciliation, to the end of the animosity and the anger and all the things that would separate us as a people. One of the best examples I love about this is the speech that Abraham Lincoln gave at one point, and you're probably familiar with this. Where he's talking about in the midst of the Civil War, and there was a speech that he gave, and an elderly person kind of criticized President Lincoln about being soft on the South, and saying, you know, shouldn't you try to destroy your enemies? Remember what Lincoln's response was? Don't I destroy my enemies if I make them my friends? And isn't that the truth? And I think that's what Peter might have something like that in mind when he said, love covers a multitude of sins. And it's only, I believe, the type of love that we can experience and receive first from God and then be willing to share that and give that to others. It's the very character of God that we want to have a flowing through us. Because again, our human nature is simply to be a transaction. You give so much and expect so much in return. But to go above and beyond is a powerful thing. You know, this past week, Pastor Heather and I were in Kansas City at the Church of the Resurrection for a leadership institute. It was a great opportunity to be with 2,500 other representatives of the United Methodists from across the country, dealing specifically with, how the United Methodist Church can stay together or be mindful of and caring to LGBTQIA folks. Where some people within the church want to change our discipline to allow for that to happen. Others may not, but overall, how do we address this and stay together? And we'll talk more about that as time goes on because we're right in the midst of it. But one of the things that happened, David Brooks is a commentator with PBS. He was one of the speakers there. There was all kinds of other education. And he told the story of an Israeli daycare center, a daycare center in Israel, where they had a problem with people, parents coming late to pick up their kids. And so they thought as a way to address that, they would impose a fine, have them pay a fee. If you got there late, you would have to pay a fee, because you got there late. And what happened was that actually doubled the number of people coming late. Because it changed from a moral decision out of concern for the teachers who want to get home to do, and care for them, to a transaction that, I'll just pay the money. And actually, that's better, and so I'll just come late and pay the money and let it be a go at that. A transaction of which you pay for what you get and so on. But a lavish love is one that goes above and beyond. It's not a transaction that it's an equal, you so much and I'll do so much, but it's like I will want to do more than what you expected from me and give to you more than perhaps you deserve because that's how God loves us. So here's our assignment this week, how we can go out and practice a lavish kind of love. You'll have an opportunity somewhere with a waiter or whatever it might be, and you might have the chance to say, keep the change. or give a bigger tip than what they deserve. You don't know their story. You don't know what they've been through. And it might be a waiter, a waitress, someone who cares for you. It might be someone in your family to go above and beyond to care for them. It might be a stranger on the street that hasn't done anything that you care for them in some way. It also might be an enemy or somebody who's out to get you, that you can love them and pray for them and hope for the best for them and try to do something nice for them, because that's what God has done for us. Are you willing to love someone else in a lavish kind of way? It's kind of reckless. It's kind of dangerous. At some point, we'll get burned. But the good news is that's how relationships can be healed. That's how our world can be transformed, with God's lavish love flowing through you and me. Amen. One of the joys that we have is sharing together in the life of the church is being together as a fellowship. And I want to invite those who are ready to be received into the fellowship of this church to come forward now. And we want to invite you to prepare to receive them. So there's a group, and you'll know in your bulletins, or you'll see in your bulletins, there's a purple sheet that lists some of the background of these folks. We'll also have three members, new members, join at the 11 o'clock service. But I think if you'll come up on the step and I'll come down here so that you can see them, or I'm going to invite them to respond to some questions, and you will have a chance to respond as well on the screen, or you can follow along on page 34 in the hymnal. And I grabbed the wrong piece of paper, excuse me. Okay, so this is like one of the highlights of my year. This is a great day. We got baptism, and we're so thrilled to have all of you here. The covenant of baptism is one that brings people into the church. But now is the time to reaffirm a faith and invite persons to desire to be a part of this fellowship. And so we're inviting, as you can see in the bulletin, many are transferring from other churches, and their confession of faith counted at that point. But we're going to let them reaffirm that faith and give you a chance to reaffirm it as well. And so I'm going to ask you first, and when we're concluded, I'm going to introduce these folks to you, okay? So first of all, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, answer, I do. And do you accept the freedom and the power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, answer, I do. And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, answer, I do. And according to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? If so, answer, I will. And now a question for all of you. As members of Christ's universal church, will you be, oh, and this is for you folks too, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, answer, I will. And finally, as members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service? If so, answer, I will. Now, members of the household of faith, first I'm going to ask you, do you renew your vows of membership just as these people have? If so, answer, we do. And members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. Let us all respond. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. And so it is a joy I'd like to introduce to you. We'll start at this end. This is Marilyn Buchanan and Helena Shaleen. Howard and Denise Tyler, Roger and Nancy Moeller, Ed and Val Maher, and Talbot and Angie and Daniel Berry. Will you welcome them with me this morning? Yeah, So I'm going to invite the folks after the time is over, and you can be just, yeah, we got it. Now we got to move things along, so keep going. So I invite you to greet them in the fellowship time afterwards and welcome them and introduce yourselves and say, we're glad you're here. Now we want to continue in the life of our church. One of the ways that we are the people of God and is the generous way that we can share God's love not only here but around the world is through the work of this church. And so we invite you now as an opportunity to share of your gifts as we'll receive our morning offering.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose path lives. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Please join me in the prayer of dedication in your bulletins and on the screen. Let us pray.
Too often we have held back our love from our neighbor. It is easier to offer apathy and hate than it is to offer abundant love. Help us to cultivate love this week. May these gifts be used to build up a culture of love, that they may be signs of our willingness to lavish love upon our neighbor, our church, and our community.
Amen. Now, I want to change the instructions just a bit and ask the new members if you would come forward here while we're singing the first verse of Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. That way, Pastor Heather can take a picture of you here all at the same time before you mingle and have to go your own way and so on. So we're going to sing the first verse of Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. And while we're singing, if you folks won't come forward, then we'll offer our benediction. Everybody else can start to go. They'll take their pictures, and then they'll join you in the fellowship hall where you can greet them as well. All right? Let's join in singing the first verse of Blessed Be the Tie That Binds.
Blessed be that day that puts our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above.
Receive this benediction as you go forth into the world. May you go with the good news of a lavish love that God has given to you. May you find the opportunities in which you can say to someone else, keep the change. And may you know that God's love indeed is active in your life. The blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit go with you now and always. Amen.